is Farrah.
This is Michelle Wright.
Hi, folks. This is Mark C. Maxted.
Bonjour. This is Jody Gaskin.
Hi, this is George Leach.
Hey, this is Derek Miller, and you're listening to CKRZ.
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 100.3 FM.
The voice of the Grand. Yeah.
The comments heard on the following presentation are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Sonics Incorporated or CKRZ FM. Yes, good afternoon, everyone. And if you missed our first interview, hey, not to worry, because we have a second one now with another COVID survivor here on the territory. And we're going to turn the floor back over to Elle, who was a big assistance in our first interview. And she's going to remind you a little bit about her position with health services. Welcome back, Elle.
Noah. I'm Elle Froman, and I'm the Clinical Education Coordinator with Six Nations Health Administration, Mohawk, Turtle Clan, and I live in the territory. I have three boys, and I'm happy to be here today, and happy that Brody's sharing his story with us today.
Welcome, Brody.
Hello. Sorry, I was glazed over there for a second. Do you want me to do an intro? I can. You had a fancy one. I'm doing one. So my name is Brody Thomas. No kids. I do live here on the territory as well. And I am the manager at Six Nations Mental Health and Addictions. And that's where I work.
Now, Brody. So I really appreciate you being here today and sharing your story. So we just want to ask you about your experience and your recovery with COVID-19. So how was your experience with COVID-19? And do you have any lingering health effects as a result of having it?
So my experience with it was back in May, kind of at the, I guess you'd say the beginning, the first wave. And I'm not sure what number I was on Six Nations, but we hadn't had many cases up until that point. I mean, my experience was long. I do have a lot to say about it. I guess to try to sum it up, you know, one thing I like to say is, you know, we can practice as much distancing and hand sanitization and follow all the things, but sometimes, for whatever reason, you might still contract it. It's not 100%. And there is an assumption there that, you know, it is people that do get it have just been reckless and not followed the rules and done all this, but it could have very well been someone else in their family or someone else. So not to kind of judge people that, you know, they've been reckless and haven't followed the rules. And it's, you know, I had people kind of get angry with me that I had it and that I was near them. And I mean, meanwhile, I didn't know that I had it and hadn't had any symptoms yet. So I guess that's where I want to start, is just that basic understanding about how you might contract it. And it's not always a reckless behavior. Right. Although that can heighten your risk, of course, if you are not following some of the protocols.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So just to carry on, I guess, with my experience, I got it over the weekend. I didn't feel well, kind of just fatigued to start for a few days. And then Saturday night, I got a fever, chills, and those lasted for 3 days until I got tested, which was a Tuesday, and got my results back the same day in the evening. And it was a shock when I got the positive test. I had, you know, felt like, man, what are the odds, you know, that I have it. And a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety right away, with all the statistics and the news and everything on social media, and seeing like the death toll and the global death toll going up every day. And I couldn't help but, during my experience, kind of go there sometimes. You know, am I going to die from this? And you go there, you go to those dark spaces, right? Especially when you're isolating alone and not being able to sleep, and you know, your thoughts go there. So that was definitely rough. As far as physically, you know, very sick. I think I lost 20 pounds in the first 2 weeks. I didn't have any taste for about 7 to 10 days, like really bad fever for the first 3 or 4 days. And then the cough and not being able to breathe lasted almost the full 14 days. I'd say maybe 12, 13 days that lasted. And there was a few times where, you know, I had the phone in my hand at 2 in the morning because the nurse, every day that she'd check in, she'd say, you know, if it gets worse or you don't think you can breathe or you're having trouble, call an ambulance. So there was a few nights where I did have the phone in my hand after coughing and having a shortness of breath, and I was ready to dial. But, you know, that was scary in itself because it kind of brings it to the next level. Now I'm in the hospital. Am I going to need a ventilator? You know, and all that fear. So luckily I didn't need to go, but it was definitely scary. Mentally, it was hard. I mean, I already talked about the fear, the internal thoughts, but I mean, not being able to see loved ones, friends, you know. I always talk about my mom making grilled cheese when I was sick and not being able to have that, and having to do it for yourself while you're sick, right? Having to get your own food, make your own meals. You do everything for yourself. And, you know, I had family members and friends drop off food, which is great. My uncle cut my lawn one day, which was nice. You know, I was sitting there in the window and watching him, and it felt really good. You know, I felt thought about, cared for sure. A lot of people reached out, and I did have someone drop off some traditional medicines for me, which actually really, after I started taking those, my cough started to break and I started to feel better. So, you know, it was an experience, and I've turned it now to a learning experience. And I think it's, in my role, it's beneficial because I can helps me understand more what people are going through. Even if they are just isolating and they don't have it, or they do have it, because that's a whole other level of trauma. But I'm using it definitely as a learning tool at this point.
So was it much different than having the flu?
It was different. I mean, I've had the flu. I've had food poisoning. This was hard. It was hard on the system. You could feel the shortness of breath. You could feel it in your lungs, like those deep coughs. And it was different. I mean, it was like the flu, but much worse. And I definitely could see how it would affect people that already have their immune system compromised. Like for me, I'm diabetic, and I noticed my blood sugars levels were high, a little bit higher, and they've been harder to get down since COVID.
So that's been a lingering health
effect. That's been a lingering effect, yeah.
Health effect for you.
In total, I'd say to feel 100% like myself again was probably maybe 8 weeks after.
That's quite a while.
Yep. I mean, there would be times where, like 3 or 4 weeks after, I would go to Walmart, and after 10, 15 minutes, I'd be exhausted and sweating and have to go home because you're just not ready. Like your body's still impacted, I guess, by those effects. So, yeah, about 8 weeks in total for me to feel up to my normal self again.
Do you have any scarring in your lungs or anything else that is still
I don't know. I can't see them. I don't know. I don't know about my lungs.
So the doctors, the nurse, they didn't...
I actually haven't seen my family doctor since I had it, so...
Tisk, tisk, Brody.
Yeah, but I feel good. I feel fine.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. But that's still quite the long haul, 8 weeks, right, until you went back to kind of feeling like your baseline normal level.
Yeah,
that's quite
it was
a
long
there,
recovery.
Right?
So, yep.
And it sounds like your experience with self-isolating was, you know, a solitary one, kind of lonely, not being able to get the care and love that you normally would get when you're sick with something other than COVID. And was there any other ways that your family influenced you during your recovery that helped?
I mean, it's the calls, right? The calls for care and checking in and, you know, every day, 3 times a day, people calling, like my mom, my dad, grandma. Very helpful, but in a way, saddening too. I mean, it's hard when you can tell your mom's upset and she's trying to be strong, but you know she can't be there and she's worried, and you're like, oh crap, everyone's worrying about me, and everyone's, you know, their lives are affected too. And,
right.
And I guess not blaming yourself, but knowing, you know, that they're hurting too, and if I were to, something was to happen to me, you know, that you wouldn't see them again, right? So all those kind of thoughts go into your head too. So
yeah,
it was tough
worrying about our loved ones, right? And,
for sure.
And the impact, absolutely. And if you don't make it, how would that make them feel, right?
Afterwards? And I'm like, I don't have any children, so you know, for these people that are experiencing it, that do have children and can't see their kids and partners, I mean, that's a whole other thing too, right? So it's got to be hard as well.
Absolutely. So how do you feel about those community members not following COVID-19 public health measures? So we also have quite a few members that have roots or family connections in the United States. And what do you say to them when they arrive here and they don't follow self-isolation rules?